Episode number 259, post-weekend review.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another exciting episode of the Camaro C28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
Man, we got some post weekend review here. That's the name of the show.
And what a weekend it was.
So there was a lot going on this weekend, particularly with the Woodward Dream Cruise, mm-hmm. You know, the largest cruise in the world.
Yeah.
Going on this weekend, as it was probably the last 2 weeks here anyways, mm-hmm. But officially this weekend.
Yeah. I was out there earlier in the week, too, just for fun.
Yeah. And then you got to go to the Disciples' little playground at Milford. And
yeah. Yeah.
See some cool stuff and speak your mind.
Maybe. No, I don't know. I can't talk about it. But I can talk about it a little bit. We'll get to that.
Yeah. So let's start off with Woodward.
Yeah, Woodward.
Besides the rain, which started off with the rain. Oh, man. I started off in the morning putting on my black bow ties on my Camaro.
How'd that go?
I thought it was going to be a quick 15-minute job. Exactly.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Trying to get the front bow tie off was a pain in the butt. I thought, oh, just pop it off. Yeah. I was sitting there.
You gotta You got to kind of tear it off.
Yeah. It's like you got to pull down on the clips while wiggling it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then trying to get the bow tie out. Forget about it.
Did you poke a screwdriver through the back?
Dude, man, I freaking mangled that thing. the gold bow tie.
Oh, yeah. You got to wreck it.
I mangled
it
that.
In case anybody's not quite familiar with it, we're talking about the billet bow ties from Defender Works.
Yep.
I have them on mine, and then, Chris, you got them on yours.
Yep.
They do look very good, but and they're easy to put on. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of detail involved, but you do have
but it's a pain in the butt.
You kind of have to work at it because the factory bow ties are really stuck on there.
God, and getting that glue
that
off?
That tar. It's like, it's like they're tarred on there.
I'm just going to peel it off.
And wrong. I need you know, a buzz button here.
I know.
Okay, close enough.
But so, anyways, after doing that in the rain.
don't you have a garage?
Yeah, my other car was in it. headed out to Woodward.
Does your other car have keys?
Yeah.
Okay, so you headed out to Woodward.
Headed out to Woodward and sat with the Street Lethal folks.
Always good people to hang out with.
And watched a parade of cars going down Woodward. It was, wow.
Oh, and the Michigan F-Body gang was there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Saw Brian there.
Yep, I ran into him there too.
And you.
Me?
Were driving a Camaro too.
Yes, I was.
But it wasn't yours.
No, it was not. It had an M on the plate.
Go ahead.
Well, geez.
Go ahead. Talk about your experience on Woodward.
The whole, or just that part of the weekend? Well, as part of the focus group, this was the 12/15 Camaro Disciples focus group, the third in 4 years, I think, or something like that. And as part of it, it was we got Camaros and we drove them up and down Woodward and pretty much had a cool time.
What color was yours?
The one I chose was silver.
Silver?
Yep.
They have black stripes?
Nope.
No? No stripes?
Nope. Me and Tim DeYoung from Modern Camaro, we paired up.
Okay, cool.
Such a good guy, man. Very good friend of ours. And we went and hung out with the Street Lethal gang and the Michigan F-Body guys. They always find a good spot, and we're not going to disclose where that is because we don't want it to be ruined for next year.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure out. Talked to a lot of Camaro owners. Saw a lot of Camaros there. Saw a lot of old friends there. It was pretty cool. And then we left and went back to the headquarters hotel. The whole point was that I think I was the only one there that had ever cruised Woodward before. And as Chris, you and I say in the past about cruising during the actual Woodward Dream Cruise. It's something that everybody has to do at least once in their life.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just one of those things. You got to put it on your bucket list.
Oh, man.
You failed miserably if you don't accomplish that at least once. So it was something that, you know, for guys like you and I, Chris, you know, we can go every year. It's not a big deal. It's a 30-minute drive from our homes.
Right, because it's right in our backyard.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a big spectacle, and it's not as overwhelming as what it normally is just because we've done it enough times. But for them, I get to live vicariously through them. You know, I forgot how overwhelming it really is. It's overwhelming in a different way when it's the first time out. So, and they really got a good, even despite the weather, they got a good experience of it.
Good, good. I was out probably till 6 o'clock that night, and the fifth gen was well represented on Woodward. I saw quite a few fifth gen Camaros.
We noticed a lot of Mustangs in our group. A lot of Mustangs.
Yes, but you always saw a lot of Mustangs on there anyways.
Some were just stupid looking though.
Yeah.
Like
there was the biggest piece of junk 5.0, you know, like a 92, you know, convertible red, you know, like they're really boxy looking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
Looks
about?
It's like it's wearing a skirt.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some funny looking cars out there too.
One of the other disciples took a picture of a badonkadonk 2010 Camaro though.
Oh, really?
Had like, you know, like 49 inch wheels or whatever. It's just
really?
Big ass.
They have spinners on them too?
I don't know. I threw up in my mouth as soon as I saw the photos.
Yikes.
So, yeah. But if that's yours, I'm sorry. It's just not my style.
Yeah.
If you're listening out there, it was a good show. It wasn't as packed because of the weather. So
it cleared up though.
And then it cleared up.
Yeah.
But by then we were gone. We had other things we had to deal with.
Yeah.
That night. So
Woodward was definitely a success.
Yeah. It's cool. It's very cool. Yeah, that's it for my Woodward.
So let's talk about what you were doing this whole weekend too. Because we've been talking about this last week, and then we talked about it probably a couple months ago when you found out that they were actually bringing all the disciples back again.
Yeah.
So tell us what you can tell us.
Not very much.
Oh, okay.
Because I found out that in addition to old Fitzy, and among others, Scott Settlemyer and Cheryl, Al Oppenheiser, our buddy Al, chief engineer of the 25th gen Camaro, I guess it'd be.
2010, 2011,
I'm still, now, see, I just started saying, instead of saying 2010, I just got into the habit of saying 2010, yeah. And now it doesn't even count anymore.
Right.
So Al is a regular listener as well. Hi, Al.
What's up, Al?
Yeah, thanks again for helping me out with that bulb issue, because he did help me out with my license plate bulb issue that I talked about a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
So, we are under contract. Yes, it's very critical that we don't reveal any details, because, yes, what we do learn is very valuable and dangerous to the success of the Camaro if placed in the wrong hands.
Okay.
And not to mention, I don't feel like going to jail or losing my friendship with the Camaro team. So it's kind of almost unfair, I understand, that it may seem unfair that I say, okay, tell us what you think and tell us what you want, because that's our job, to kind of solicit the ideas of everybody, and we are supposed to kind of speak on behalf of you as best as we can. And then for us to turn around and say, well, we went there, but we can't talk about anything.
Sorry.
Yeah, I understand it's a drag, but you also understand why that has to be. The whole point is to give General Motors information, not for them to tell us secrets. You know, that's not the goal of it. The goal is for them to better the vehicle based on input from the people who will or should buy them. So having said that, no, I'm not going to go into great detail. But
can you tell us about the weekend, though? Like when did it start?
Oh,
when did it end?
Oh, yeah.
What was going on?
It started Friday night with a kind of like a meet and greet, seeing the old friends that I only get to see. You know, every time we do this, at least in that setting with all of them together, just a light dinner and socializing, had a couple of drinks. Saturday, we did the Dream Cruise thing. Saturday night, we had a dinner that couldn't be beat and kind of prepared for Sunday, which is the day at the Milford Proving Grounds, which Sunday we woke up in the morning, all got breakfast, jumped on a bus, went to the Milford Proving Grounds, signed all the release forms and waivers, and we saw some things. We saw some things that even made us ask questions that they would not answer.
Okay.
We drove some cars. And it was an educational experience. And the way that I can say that is that the Camaro is such an incredible car by comparison to others.
Mm.
How about that?
Yeah.
But there is something important I do want to say about this whole experience. First, we wanted a new Camaro, and we got it. And
praise Jesus.
We wanted, but not only that, but we wanted one that had world-class build, world-class design, world-class handling. We wanted stupid power. I mean, 426 horsepower 5 years ago was pushing the envelope. Let's put it this way. The King of the Hill ZR1 in the early 90s had 405. So, you know, think about that. That was a $90,000 car.
Right.
That took like 12 quarts of oil, I think, or something like that. So, you know, okay, going forward, we wanted Bluetooth. We got it. We wanted a cool digital display. We got it. Eventually, we wanted a heads-up display. We got it.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted special editions. Guess what? We're getting it. We got the Synergy Green, and it's not stopping there.
Yeah.
So the best way to say this is that I firmly believe that that trend will continue. When the common desire comes out in the car, I'm not saying we will get it, but the history has shown that when we kind of band together and certain elements surface more frequently than others, it winds up becoming a reality, as long as it's within reason. It's been done. I mean, history has shown us right there. I mean, I just listed a bunch of them, and there's probably more I didn't even think about. That's not saying that we're all going to get what we want, and most importantly is we're not going to get it right now. I don't think anybody has any idea how difficult it is to make one small change. Changing a wheel cost well over $1 million in validation and design and everything else. Just changing the wheel design. So other things like, well, just anything. You make a change, it has to go through these. It's not just, you know, somebody saying, let's do it. And then the factory switches parts and then they just bolt them on differently.
This isn't Joe Blow Inc., you know,
yeah,
trying to come out with something. There's a lot more stuff that goes into it.
Incredible testing, incredible validation. It has, you know, if they change the power design of the power window switch, for example, they got to make sure it doesn't catch itself on fire. They got to make sure that it uses the right supplier for the right wires, the right everything. For all I know, they got to crash test the side for lateral impact. I mean, it's ridiculous what it takes to go into a car. So that's why when somebody jumps up and says, we want a Z28 with this and that and the other thing, that's why we don't have it right now. Yeah. Not because they don't listen and not because they don't want that too, but because big wheels have to turn slow.
Yeah.
So have faith because it's only getting better, as you can see, and I believe it will continue that way.
Well, if it's anything like what we've seen so far, yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hell of a ride.
I will, and I'll put my car keys and my bumper nuts on this, that the Camaro team is not satisfied with this car, despite the multiple awards it's won, despite selling 130,000 cars when people said it wouldn't even sell 50,000 cars the first year. You know, they're still not done. They're not happy. It's not that they're not happy. They're just not satisfied. They want to keep evolving, and it's no different than the day they said we're going to build this car. The fire is there, the intent is there, and the desire is there, and they're going to make something happen. They're not going to just sit back and say, this is it for Camaro.
Awesome.
That's what I can say. I can't say anymore. I'm very sorry, but if I were to say what, I'd be in so much trouble. and really, you know, I mean,
it's not worth
what
it.
Good is it going to do anybody anyway, except the competition? And yes, there are things that we've learned that if the competition knew, that's going to make the Camaro better. It, you know, it's a competitive world out there, man.
Of course.
So, and they all did acknowledge that the Mustang is doing well, and it's good competition, setting the benchmark, and they're rising to the challenge.
Yeah, they only beat them by 3 cars last month, so can't wait to see what the numbers for August are.
Yeah, God, wouldn't that be weird if it was another 3?
Yeah, 3 or 6.
Oh, that's a fix.
No doubt.
A bunch of Ford execs are running out there and buying a shite load of them. Okay, we only need 75 more.
Yeah. Okay, so there's 15 disciples.
Yes.
I probably know about 3/4 of them, but do all of them have new 5th-gen Camaros?
No.
Really?
Yep.
Oh. I thought they would all have them.
But why?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right, because they give them to us for free, right?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, being on the, you know,
actually,
focus group is your you know, enthusiast. I mean, God, we had our orders in the day you could order the car. I don't know.
It's a very interesting and very strategically picked cross section of male, female, location, age, income. One of the I'll just say one of them is a Firebird guy. One of them is a Corvette gal. And okay. if you know who it is, it's not like a secret or anything. No. But one had a 2010, and it didn't suit his needs, and he sold it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't, you know, live in this country. But, you know, that still makes them very important to be on this team, because then the Camaro team, the production design, you know, the Fitz team, can look at them and say, where did we go wrong? Because you're surely not the only one that wanted your car for autocrossing or road racing or whatever the case was. It was Art or Ellie. I forgot which one. It was Art, actually. Who's a diehard Camaro guy, but for his style of racing, the Camaro, the 2010 Camaro, didn't fit the bill. So his reasons for that are not something to scoff at. They're valuable, and it's always leading to that improvement of the team,
okay.
of the car and the team and whatever. Did I even answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So maybe half of them?
Half of them have 2010 Camaros, yeah. I'd say, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious, that's all.
Some of them are first-gen owners. Kevin, you know, restored that pace car that they have at the Heritage Collection. Oh. You know, Tim DeYoung, he's another, you know, 2010 guy. He's a previous fourth gen owner. I've had two fourth gens, a third gen, and a first gen if you count me and my dad's cars together. Yeah. It's not a matter of what they own. It's what they want, and if they can best represent what other people want.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, sounds like it was a fun weekend.
It was. It was. I'm very tired. It's not an easy thing. It's actually very not very easy at all. When you're trying to speak on behalf of everybody, it's actually kind of stressful.
Yeah.
Because you got to put aside what you want, and there are things that were verbalized that I could care less about. Hmm. But I know that they mean something to other people.
Yeah. Cool.
Like you.
I've been in a focus group before.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't get the point of it, but it's critical. It's critical. I wish it could be twice as much.
The last one I was in when I was in Las Vegas, and they show a TV program, and then they take you in a room, they pay you $100.
Beat the crap out of you verbally.
And it's for an hour, and they just hammer on certain things, you know, of the TV program. Like, this character, why, and what would you change, and why, and, you know, how is it now? How do you think it would evolve? How, you know?
That's what we got. In fact, you know, when we'd bring up things that we had issues with, a lot of the questions would be, they wouldn't hesitate to spin around and say, okay, how would you fix it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or somebody said, you know, I'd pay for, you know, to have this and this. Okay, how much? So my suggestion to the listeners out there, if you've got a complaint or a suggestion, back it up by the dollar amount or how you do it. Don't just say, they should do this. Well, of course they should. Don't think they haven't thought of it, but maybe they can't. Yeah. Or maybe they don't know how, or maybe they like to hear how you think it would work. Or how much would you pay for it? Because they got to make their money. They can't give stuff away for free.
Yeah,
God,
no
wouldn't
doubt.
That be great?
So they got to make it and validate it and make their money back.
It's a frustrating industry.
Yeah.
And I love every minute of it. It's the weirdest thing.
Cool.
It's like our website. It's a headache I love to have.
Yeah.
So, all right. If anybody has any questions that, you know, I can't answer details, but I'm happy to talk about the experience and kind of explain other things like that. I'm, you know, all ears. Please feel free to give us a call or shoot us an email. We'll give you the information in a little bit.
Okay.
Speaking of which, what's next? Oh, we haven't done this in a while. Look out. It's the threat of the week.
It's time for the thread of the week from the Camaro Z28.com message boards. If you want to get involved with the message boards, just go to Camaro Z28.com. You'll join over 50,000 Camaro and Firebird enthusiasts from around the world.
50,000?
I know, I was going to say, man,
that's
that was
old.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's like,
over
what,
90
80
now,
or
right?
90, yeah, but you know, we haven't done thread of the week in a while. So, yeah. Chris, take it away, buddy.
Okay, so our good buddy Pete Bassica from Petters USA was kind enough to put together a mega thread for Petters suspension that they have for the 2010 Camaro. And not only that, but the math and the details and everything that goes along with why the suspension works the way it does. I mean, this thread is like the mega thread of suspension. Everybody has to read it. It just goes on and on, but there's so much information in there that you got to take a look at it. If you're at the least bit curious about the suspension of a 2010 Camaro.
And when we say suspension, we're not just talking about the parts that go into it, but the physics
right
behind the entire car. Because if anybody's worked on a performance vehicle knows, you change something just a fraction of an inch, it makes so much difference. Like try messing around with your alignment one day if you're really bored.
Yeah.
See how that gets you careening into a tree. So this thread is huge. It's called Before You Modify Your Fifth Gen Suspension, Read the Book. And that's what this thread is. It is a book, and it's so full of knowledge, it's just sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll walk away from reading this thread. Spend a half an hour to an hour reading this, and you will walk away knowing so much more. Yeah. Pete is an expert on the system and how they work and why they work and what where changes are made and what Petters does. And it's not all about selling parts from Petters. It will educate you and tell you so you can make your own determination as to what you need to either A, buy, or B, change. Excellent, excellent stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to link that up in the show notes.
This borderline thread of the year.
Yeah.
I keep going through it. I'm like, this is just unbelievable.
Yep.
Pete's such a good guy, too. So check it out, Chris. Can't wait to read. I'll probably reread this again after you link it up in the show notes. So, okay. We probably got to move on here.
Yeah.
We got a couple voicemails and a couple emails, right?
Yeah, we sure do.
All right. You want to kick off the voicemail and then
we'll
maybe do a couple emails and then, you know, something like that?
What's up, guys? AJ calling, and I was doing my weekly or daily follow-up on different car stories, and a story I've been following for a while about the Boss 302 Mustang. Yeah, they brought it back, and it is a bad machine, I must say. It's just a bad machine. It's 440 horsepower, truck-ready, off the showroom floor, our compound tires, ready, track ready Mustang. That's exactly what it is. I'm not being, you know, bad mouthing Camaro or anything, but GM, you know, Ford is, you know, stepping up the game. They're bringing back a lot of good names and the power going along with it. I know that they just brought back the Z28. But it seems like as soon as GM comes out with a new Camaro, they come out with a new Mustang. So you're asking about any input for the Disciples. Maybe think about bringing back the Yanko or even a Copo Camaro. I think a Copo Camaro would be really cool for, you know, the new day and age and for people who I always wanted to own a Copo, because the Copo was a very popular car. It still is today. And I think a Copo Camaro in this day and time would be a good addition to the Camaro lineup. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast.
Chris, I'm going to address this.
Okay.
Now, I won't disagree that the Mustang is a great car. If everybody's a loyal listener, they'll remember that I drove one in Austin and loved it. I thought it was a great vehicle. Did I like it more than a Camaro? No. Is it great competition for the Camaro? Absolutely it is. But here's something that I have been asking, and people don't like to answer this question. How much is that Boss 302 going to cost? Because they haven't released pricing on it.
Right.
And everybody's talking, it's like it's the second coming of whatever. How much? $50,000? $45,000? We don't know. So if it comes out at $45,000, we all know that we can build a 2010 Camaro for less than that. That'll whip the shit right out of it. However, knowing Ford, they're probably going to price it pretty competitively, and still, that's a good thing. I just don't think that people should be going ape over this car just yet until they release the price.
Is it because it says Boss on it?
No, well, because the numbers are great. The performance numbers, you know, what it comes with, and everything like that. It's easy for Ford to do because they've been doing it for a while. General Motors hasn't, and Chevrolet hasn't been able to really offer a more track-ready sort of vehicle like that, because maybe they just haven't done it right in the past and it always failed. I don't know, but it still has to be, if it's going to be competitive number-wise, it also has to be competitive price-wise. You know, and in other words, the numbers have to match all the way up. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not a fair fight.
Yeah.
And so, AJ, I hear you, and I do agree. It's a damn ugly car, though, if I do say so. I mean, the black and the red just looks bad. The blue one's all right, but I'm impressed with the performance. I just hope I'm impressed with the price.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the other thing? Copo and Yanko.
Yeah.
Yanko is owned by another name. Can't use it. Yeah. Copo, they're worth about $1 million to $1.5 million now. In order for, and if you're in love with a name, just go get a vinyl cutter and put it on there, because I don't think it'll ever come from General Motors.
No.
Because people aren't willing to pay the price.
Right.
Everybody wants this special edition, that special edition, but they're not going to buy them. They just want to see them. I get it, but GM still wants to sell you a car.
Right.
Good suggestions, though, and I know that people are listening that matter, so thanks for calling in as usual.
Yeah.
Do I have to keep talking?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I know I steal can, the limelight. Like, yeah, you go ahead. You do it.
Okay.
You do it.
This one comes in from James Worley. He says, thank you for the opportunity to learn from your knowledge and put it to use. Your recommendations for my son-in-law's 1995 Camaro. His car, but I'm the mechanic. I've touched on a hobby a number of years ago. I had the usual 55 and 57 Chevys, for which I enjoy building up. Once again, thank you for welcoming me aboard, Radio Man. So
nice.
One of the guys we must have mentioned in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Very, so, very cool.
Cool.
Yeah, we've been doing that. You know, new members, even if you're not new but you haven't posted the new member introduction form, do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll mention you. So here I am. I got to read this one. This comes from our good buddy Bear Z28. The subject is 2010 interior and Jason's axles. That's axles. he says, hey guy, Bear here. I'm drunk.
No.
Oh, he didn't. No. Two questions. I'm backed up a week on the podcast, so this will probably be on the Disciple Meeting Part 2 episode, which this is. Nice. First, regarding the interior quality of the 2010, I was actually 50-50 on the interior. I haven't gone tapping around the inside of it yet, although it did feel roomy the first time I sat in one. My father has a 2007 V6 Silverado, and the interior quality can be compared to that of a Revell snap-together model. I know it is a lower-end truck, but the interior just feels and sounds hollow. I'm not saying the 2010 Camaro is this bad, but maybe this would help clarify some of the interior quality gripes. I do agree that it could be much softer. I have become quite picky about my interiors lately. Secondly, Jason's axles. What have you done to the rear end of your 2010? We all know how many concerns there were during the concept and design regarding the wheel end of the rear end and the wheel hop that plagued the GTO. I've seen some of those GM HTP installs that they did a write-up on a beefier set of axles for the 2010. Has this concern been addressed with your car yet? Just curious. And we haven't heard much about the owner feedback, mileage, and time reports. I think you or some people may have started doing them when they first got their cars. Lastly, to AJ97, this may be just getting older, but a very aggressive and loud exhaust might be fun for the first couple of months, but it does get old after a while. I had long tubes catted in off-road pipe with a Borla adjustable 3-inch on my 2000 Z28, and it was loud, but got really raspy after I took the cats off. If it goes through the muffler all the way, it would have sounded worlds better. But it was too aggressive for me, especially after I installed a cam. It got even louder. Mine also barks on cold start like Jason described. Different years, but still a cammed LSX engine. I have a bullet muffler now with off-road pipes, and it's still pretty darn loud. That'd be all for now. Thanks, guys. Bear Z28.
Good to hear from Bear.
Probably writing from the road.
Yeah. Driving a semi-truck.
Wow. It's a biggie. Yeah, the interior, they're aware of it.
Yeah.
They're aware that their people have said the interior feels cheap. They're aware.
Okay.
My axle. No, I haven't saw a need to beef up my axles because while I have a sticky tire, I don't have a race tire on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything's going to break, it's going to be those tires. They are good.
Yeah.
Very good. Not to mention, who really has wheel hop issues?
No, it's nothing like the GTO. Absolutely no wheel hop at all.
Now, I know the naysayers, and we all know who they are too, said it's going to have wheel hop. It's going to have wheel hop. And Al Oppenheiser said, what's wheel hop when it comes to this car?
I mean, I pounded on my car, and this is coming from a guy who had a CTS-V in 2004, and the wheel hop was so incredibly bad in that car, I actually traded in and got rid of it because I couldn't take it anymore.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But suddenly, there's just no reports of wheel hop or minor.
I haven't even heard of reports of people breaking the rear end.
That's the next thing I was going to get at.
There's people in the tens.
Yeah. They do replace those half shafts, though.
Yeah.
But the center section is holding up. unless they're in there with a welding rod or something. So
it's amazing.
Hey, guess what? Who's the recent member of the Camaro Crow Eating Club? Cult. The cult of the Camaro Crow Eater. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's your answer. I don't see a need for it myself because I don't plan on doing super ass hard launches. And
super ass hard launches.
Super ass hard with my axle?
Yeah.
Bear, always good to hear from you. Check the lounge. Somebody was posting wanted to know about a career in truck driving.
Yeah.
It was probably a week or two ago, so you may have to dig back. Okay. Wow, I'm almost out of breath here. What, we got one more voicemail?
Yep.
All right, we'll get to it right after this.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Okay.
Hey, Jason and Chris, this is Terry and Sherry.
Oh, no.
We're in a Camaro riding down Woodward, and we're having a good time with our Camaro cruising on down the road. We just saw a nice big truck with a huge set of chrome bumper nuts, and of course we thought of Jason. So, Jason, while you're cruising out there, keep your eyes out, because there's a truck with your name on it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Ah, yes. Bumper nuts.
I hope my wife isn't listening to this episode. You're talking about my big bumper nuts.
Chrome ones at that.
We haven't talked about bumper nuts in a while.
No, we haven't.
Oh, boy. Those are the good days of the early episodes of the podcast.
Yeah.
For those really wondering what got put in our coffee, there's an accessory that covers the trailer hitch of trucks called bumper nuts, and they look like...
testicles.
Nuts, yeah. But you can get them chromed or bronzed or in
black.
Yeah, black. or beige, you know, or
regular flesh
tone. Everything else. And we were remarking a long time ago that it's amazing that there's such a huge market because there are like four or five different manufacturers in one truck magazine alone. Must be a popular item. Chris, don't you have some on your vehicle?
No.
No?
No, but I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and there was some on a motorcycle.
Cycle nuts? Bike nuts?
Oh, something like that. And they were swinging, too.
You know, boy, that's just too funny. Yeah. A little adult humor or juvenile humor, depending on how you want to look at it. So, yeah. Hey, it's PG-13. We're pushing the boundary on that one. So thank you, Terry, and... was it Terry and...
Terry and Sherry.
Terry and Sherry.
Yep.
Talking about
hear from you again,
nuts.
Terry.
Yep. They really had a great time at the focus group meeting as well. They're also two of the disciples. Because last year we had some of the disciples here in studio, but we just couldn't arrange it this year because some people had to jump on a flight immediately after the...
And head home.
Yep. So, well, that was cool. Yep. Always good to hear from, well, heck, anybody at this point.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's pretty much it for the guts of the show. Chris, you had something.
Yeah, just a quick shout out to Ed. Talk with you over at Woodward yesterday. Just want to give him a shout out. He's a funny guy.
Ed,
he offered to be
right?
our call screener if we ever offered to do a call-in show, which he said we should never, ever, ever do.
We've talked about it.
Yeah.
A live show where we're recording. Hey, guess what? We're recording. We're taking your calls now. Well, not live, but we don't interject. We'll take the calls as we're recording, so semi-live.
He couldn't stress that enough, though.
That it's bad?
Yeah, we should never.
Why?
Ever. Because he doesn't want us to be like Dear Abby.
Oh.
Because he said then he would be this call screener, you know.
Well, we could always edit the show. I mean,
yeah.
Because, you know, these shows start out being 3 or 4 hours long. We have to trim them down to 30 minutes because everything else is stuttering and, you know, me accidentally speaking French. let's see here. Speaking of shout-outs, let's talk about some new members here.
Okay.
What do we got?
We have somebody here by the name of 76MM Turbo. Turbos. It's like the Turbo SS.
Turbo SS. Hey, refresh your page, actually.
Okay.
Just got a new one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Go Ferrari 28. New member and longtime Camaro owner from Sacramento, California.
All right. Calling from Sac.
Dark Ellis 1 from Texas.
A lot of Texas gang.
New person from Illinois, 95 white Trans Am. New 94 Z28 LT1 owner named Steve H. New SS owner in the Bay Area.
The 650 area code.
Yeah. Hyphy 01 SS.
What?
Yeah.
Hyphy?
H-Y-P-H-Y?
Hi-Fi, maybe?
Hi-Fi 01 SS. Hyphy?
Hyphy.
I don't know how to pronounce this.
Linnea?
Linnea? Doesn't say where they're from. Copenhagen, New York.
There we go. All right.
Upstate New York near Fort Drum. Man, we got a lot of new users here that posted this week. New SSO. Okay, we did that one. Hello from Tennessee. ZL 585 horsepower.
Yeah, I think they head up the SLP program at their dealership. So hopefully to have them on board as a sponsor in the near future.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. Well, we see them come through all the time, and there's dozens a day, but only a few take the time to actually just, you know, stop and introduce themselves, maybe post some pictures.
Yeah,
we
offer
free photo hosting and everything on the site. So, you know, we haven't mentioned this in a while. We do have our Lincoln Club directory. So, you know, for our new members, if you're part of a club or even an online club of sorts, we do have a directory where we can help get the word about out about your organization. Just click the link at the top of the board, I believe. Or just go to CamaroZ28.com/links and you could submit yours. So, we're happy to grow that list. And one final thing, people have been asking me about the CamaroZ28.com Series 4 diecast. I had to put it on hold because I had other things going on that were very, very important. I'm back on it again. This is probably the longest production time, but it's going to be well worth it. In the meantime, excuse me, I am offing a lot of my old diecasts from Johnny Lightning and Racing Champions, and they're all Camaros and all Firebirds, including some rarities. I'm just trying to make room for new stuff. So check my signature on the message board that goes to all my eBay listings. They're cheap. They're like $2.99. You know, buy a bunch, shipping gets cheaper, that sort of thing. So if you're looking for a very particular vehicle, especially fourth gen stuff, a lot of fourth, a bunch of third, and just a few second gen stuff.
Okay.
So check it out. And
sounds cool.
Let me know you heard it on the podcast when you bid on the auctions.
And you'll get free shipping?
No, because then it costs more to ship them than it does just to sell.
That would suck.
Yeah, it would. Not only would it suck, it does suck. All right, that's it. I'm Chris. Maybe next week you can talk.
Okay, sounds good.
Have a great week, everybody.
We'll see ya.
Yep, we'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to the CamaroZ28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline. 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.